Good evening and welcome to Joy Lutheran's Thanksgiving Eve worship service. And let me be the first one to tell you before tomorrow, happy Thanksgiving. I hope that you and your family and friends have a blessed Thanksgiving, whether you have to reach out to each other electronically or you do it in person. I ask God's blessing on your time together. There are no announcements as we begin our worship together. Instead, we begin it the way that we always do, by passing the peace of God. So the peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take some time to share that peace with the people we love. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, in whose image we were made, who claims us and who calls us his beloved. Amen. Let's sing together our opening hymn, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, our Father, your generous goodness comes to us new every day. By the work of your Spirit, lead us to acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We continue our worship reading the scripture verses.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 18. Time of abundance tempts us to forget God and rely on our own power and resources. But God is one who took Israel out of Egypt, led and fed them in the wilderness, brought them into the land, and gave them power to be productive. To thank this God is to remember and proclaim God's deeds. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters, welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from the flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. The psalm today is Psalm 65. Please read with me responsively. You are to be praised, O God in Zion. To you shall vows be filled. To you, the one who answers prayer, to you all flesh shall come. Our sins are stronger than we are, but you blot out our transgressions. Happy are they whom choose and draw to your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple. Awesome things will show us in your righteousness, O God of our salvation, O hope of all ends of the earth and of the oceans far away. You make firm the mountains by your power. You are girded about with might. You are still roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the people. Those who dwell at the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing for joy. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain, you soften the ground, and I bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Christian fellowship involves sharing with those in need. Here Paul is gathering a collection for the church in Jerusalem from all the Gentile churches he helped found. We can be extravagant in our giving because God is extravagant in providing for our lives. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce the thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Here ends the lessons.
We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator, in great devotion, our tribute we bring. We lift before you, we kneel and adore you, we bless your holy name. We sing. We worship you, God of our fathers and mothers, through trials and tempest all guide you have been. When perils o'ertake us, you will not forsake us, and with your help, O Lord, our struggles we win. With voices united, our praises we offer, and gladly our songs of thanksgiving we raise. With you, Lord, beside us, your strong one will guide us to you, our great Redeemer, forever we praise.
Our gospel reading this evening is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I don't like this gospel lesson because I think people want to use this story like some kind of big old stick to beat a sense of morality into us. The moral is just this. 9 of the healed people were very, very bad people. Why, they didn't even bother to say thank you to Jesus for what he had done, for healing their sick bodies, for mending their broken hearts, for ending their social isolation. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Shame on them. Those are 9 very selfish, very ungrateful people. But the good news, there is one shining example of a Samaritan. You know Samaritans, right? The people who were considered foreigners and enemies of the Jews and all around just kind of icky people to begin with. But this Samaritan is the hero of the story because he looks at his body and knows that he had been healed and understands who did this. understands what Jesus had given him. So he runs back as fast as he can, and he falls down at Jesus' feet, and he says, "Thank you." So the lesson is, don't be ungrateful jerks. Be thankful, like the Samaritan. Amen. Wait. Hold on a minute. That's not good. That's not even true. That explanation of this particular story does not sit right with me, and it never has. Something at the core of using this story to make us feel bad in order that we might become more grateful people, that doesn't seem authentic to me. It doesn't seem honest. And it seems contrary to Jesus. But I do think that's why the people who made the lectionary, you know those people, right? They schedule all the Bible lessons that we read every week, every single worship service for a 3-year cycle. Well, I think they chose this particular lesson for Thanksgiving Eve just for that reason, to make a moral point, to make us feel like we should be more thankful, to make us feel, dare I say it out loud, guilty. But friends, this is not a story of failure. This is not a morality parable of one good person and 9 bad people. This is not a story about somebody remembering or other people forgetting to come back and say thank you. This, at its core, is an incredible story of the power of Jesus to transform lives. This isn't a parable at all. This is a true story. This is a healing story from the life of Jesus. This is a story of 10 people who had been outcast because of a terrible disease. It's about 10 people who had no other recourse. They had no doctor to make them right. They had no nurse to administer medications and treatments that they desperately needed. This is about 10 people who could never go home. 10 people who could never again hold their loved ones. 10 people who could never again step foot near those important people in their lives. They had no opportunities. They had no break from being filled with leprosy. They had no hope. See, this is a story of how they cried out to Jesus, how Jesus met them and healed them and then set them free. And I don't think Jesus is really like one of our passive aggressive relatives, one of those family members that we see once a year at Christmas who gives us a gift with the expectation that we will write a handwritten thank you note in return. I don't think Jesus heals people in order to get a thank you. I think he heals people because, well, it's what he does. It's the nature of his being. He is God's healing power. He is God's unconditional love. He is God's salvation that has come into the world. He said that healing the broken and loving the sinful and taking care of each other are foundational elements of the kingdom of God. One time he said, even, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. See, that's why it's hard for me to reduce this gospel lesson to an issue of morality. You know, just be good. And Jesus will love you more and better than all those other losers around you. Blah. Ugh. Not true. Jesus loved all 10 of those people. And do you know how I know? He healed them. And God is love. And besides, I think it's naive for us to think that the 9 who didn't come back and fall at his feet and say thank you were unappreciative. It would be really hard to believe that when they got home around their family and their friends, that someone didn't immediately ask them, how? How did this happen? How is this possible that you have been changed? How can you be standing in front of me healthy and strong? There has to be an explanation. And I can't believe that the first word out of their mouth was anything other than Jesus. Janet and I watched a documentary on Netflix last week. It's called Trial 4. It's about this young black man named Sean Ellis who was accused and tried and convicted for killing a Boston police officer. He served 21 years, 7 months, and 29 days. He knew the exact number of days, but he rounded it up to 22 years. Now, his first two trials, the jury was hung. There was no unanimous decision, no guilty conviction, but they led to a third trial. And in that trial, he was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. And during the course of his incarceration, he reached out to a defense attorney named Rosemary Scapiccio. Now listen, if you don't want to know the rest of the story, how it all ended, then I suggest that you pause your TV right now. This is your warning. This is going to be a spoiler. This is a spoiler alert for you. Okay. At the conclusion of the documentary, the district attorney's office, due to the gathering of more evidence and somewhat with a hateful reluctance, dismissed all the charges against Sean Ellis. But for me, here's the interesting part. The day he was set free, there was a press conference. A reporter asked him, this man who had been in prison for over half his life, he asked Sean Ellis what it felt like to be free. Sean Ellis did not answer the question that that man asked. Instead, he turned sideways and gave all the thanks and all the praise and everything he had to his attorney, Rosemary Scapiccio, and to her legal team that worked so hard to set him free. See, that's what I'm talking about. With these people who had been healed, who had been given back their lives, when their loved ones, well, heck, probably when complete strangers asked, how could this happen? How can you be free after all those years of sickness and suffering and after all that separation? I have to believe that they stopped and they pointed to Jesus because they knew that he set them free. They knew that they owed him this chance at new life. They knew what he was and what he did, and they were thankful. But this story of Jesus healing 10 people with leprosy is not just their story. It's our story too. Because we have the exact same story to explain what we have experienced in the presence of Jesus Christ. If we are honest, Each one of us has an origin story, a history, a past. We have a story of how we had to cry out to Jesus and he met us somewhere along the way because we were broken. Whether it was physically or mentally or spiritually, we have a story of a time in our lives when we were lost or hurt or prideful or wandering away from God or just full of sin and making bad decisions or carelessly just hurting other people. And then at some point we realized and we cried out and Jesus broke into your life and into my life. And we were set free from something that was holding us back and destroying us. At some point, you and I were lepers. And that's a bad place to be. Maybe you're at that point in your life right now while you're watching this tonight. And if you are, I'm so sorry. I know how hard that is. But please hear me. It is not too late. You are not beyond hope. Jesus wants to set you free too. So ask him, call out to him, cry out to him, and he will reach out and heal your broken life. So tonight, instead of reading this gospel lesson as a reprimand that we ought to be thankful, why don't we see this as an invitation to be healed? As an invitation to join us, join all of us who were broken but now are healed. Join us who fell at the feet of Jesus with thankful hearts, and join us who ran home and forgot to give him thanks, but were surrounded by our family and friends. Either way, join us broken and healed people in giving thanks and praise to Jesus for what he has done. Right now, at this very minute, say the name of the one who has set you free. And be thankful. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn of the day. Join together in confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, we come before you today as people who were broken and have now been healed. And we are just so thankful. We're so thankful that you've given us another chance at life. We're so thankful that we can stand here together and understand that we have hope, that it's not the end, that there is more yet to come. And so, Lord, on this night, we ask that you fill our hearts with thankfulness for everything that you've given us. Help us to take inventory of the beautiful nature of our life and to worship and praise you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. You are the resurrection and the life. Today, we have some members of our family of faith who are mourning loss of people whom they love so dearly. And we need you. We're pleading with you to be with them and their families this night. Be with Dwight Stenseth and his family as they mourn the loss of his brother-in-law, Ardell. Be with Brooke Rickerfort and her entire family as they mourn the loss of her grandfather, Dan. Lord, we also ask that you be with Dan Lowe and his entire family this night as they mourn the loss of our friend and fellow congregant, Bob Lowe. Lord, we at these times, we just don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. All we can do is cling to the promises that you have made to us, that claim that death is not the end, that there is more, that there is life abundant in you. And so this night, we commend all these to your care. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we need your healing power in our lives every single day. And there are some of us right now who need you to be present, whether it's a healing of a broken body or whether it's recovering from a surgery. We ask, Lord, that you be with Gary Ruthven, Merle Brown, Ryan Steinert, and Lucas Bettendorf. And there are still yet more that we hold dear in our hearts, and we raise their names up to you. Send now your power of healing. Send now your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, tonight I just want to thank you. I want to tell you how thankful I am for this place and these people, for Joy Lutheran Church, for the members of this church, for the friends of this church out there in this world, and for the blessing that they are to me and to others in this congregation. We ask that you uphold all those who give their time and their talents and their treasures, their energy, everything they have to promote your mission in this place. We give you thanks for the staff members who work diligently to proclaim your holy name. And we ask, Lord, that you unify our hearts and minds so that we can be singular in our purpose. Guide us and lead us and help us to be the church you want us to be. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue our service this evening with our offering. And again, since it's Thanksgiving Eve, let's take some time and be thankful for what God has done for us. The offering. We continue with Holy Communion. Holy God, our bread of life, our table, and our food, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them new life. You fed your people Israel in the desert with manna from heaven. You sent your son Jesus into this world to eat with sinners and to become the bread of life for the sake of this world. In this night, in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us that feast which will have no end. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all who live in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make us the body of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now at home, take your bread and hear these words. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take your cup and hear these words. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Receive the communion blessing. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. And may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." beloved of God, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.